بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه: يا معاذ، حسن خلقك للناس. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، honorable ulama, respected elders and dear brothers, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have already entered the month of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam, and in this month we are to prepare ourselves for the great and auspicious month of Ramadan al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month as a precursor, as a month of preparation, and this is why we find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that purify and cleanse yourself in Sha'ban for the month of Ramadan. So this is the month of purification, this is the month of spring cleaning spiritually, in order to receive the full benefits of the month of Ramadan. Now, we will undertake this process of purification, which also entails within it a process of rectification, reformation, transformation, that we are going to change our whole outlook in life, we are going to change our mentality, our attitudes, our ways, our behavior, our character, and we're going to make all of this conform with the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is part and parcel of that process of purification that is referred to in this saying of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, inshallah ta'ala, in the talk today, I would like to emphasize one particular aspect of rectification or reformation, and that is relating to our akhlaq and our character. Because if this aspect of our life becomes reformed, it becomes rectified, then my dear brothers, despite the fact that we may do less ibadah, despite the fact that we may do less charity, despite the fact that we may do less hajj and umrahs, but we can be guaranteed of a very high and lofty position in the hereafter by virtue of this one trait or one characteristic in us, and that being of good akhlaq and good character. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned clearly that innal abda la yudriku darajata sa'im al-qa'im bihusni khulqihi, or kama qala alayhi salam, that by virtue of good character a person attains the stage of that person who is as-sa'im al-qa'im, one who is saim al-dahr and qaim al-layl, one who fasts throughout the year, one who keeps excessive fast, and the one who stands in the night for salah. The person who has good akhlaq and good character reaches the stage of that abid, that worshipper, by virtue of his good akhlaq and good character. In fact, there will be no deed heavier in the scale of a believer on the day of Qiyamah then good character. مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. There is no action that will be heavier and weightier in the scale on the day of Qiyamah when Allah will weigh the deeds of each and every one. And the ulama have given detailed explanation in the commentary of the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, that zikr that is taught to us, that these two words are the heaviest in the scales. The ulama have given a detailed explanation as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the deeds and why Allah won't count our deeds. The reason being that in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is quality that matters and not quantity. And this is the reason why deeds are weighed and they are not counted. Because quantity wise, some people may have many, many deeds. But in terms of quality, it is defective. Therefore, it will not reach the level of those people whose deeds were of quality. Example, Sahaba-i-Kiram, they spent small amounts of money in the path of Allah. But 1 kilo of dates that a Sahabi spent, or half a kilo, will supersede the reward of mountains of gold that will be given to by people in charity after the Sahaba-i-Kiram, as per one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason for this difference is simply because there was quality in their amal. Their deeds were based on quality. It was not quantity. They may have done one or two umrahs or hajj in their whole lifetime. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hajj, 4 umrahs. But look at the quality. Others may do hajj and umrah year in, year out. But it will never reach that level of quality. Therefore, dear friends, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to weigh the deeds in order to ascertain the quality of those deeds. And the highest deed, the heaviest deed in the scale of Allah on the day of Qiyamah will be husnul khuluq, good akhlaq and good character. There will be no deed that will be weightier than good akhlaq and good character on the day of Qiyamah. Therefore, you will find a person might come, in one hadith it is mentioned, he will come with lot of salat, and he will come with lot of zakat, and he will come with lot of fasting, and he will come with lot of charity, and other good deeds. But because his akhlaq was rotten, because his akhlaq was corrupt, and as a result of that corrupt akhlaq of his, he infringed and violated the rights of people. And he became a means of tormenting people. And he troubled people. And he was a source of suffering for people. He swore somebody. He hit someone. He punched somebody. He spoke ill about someone. He denigrated someone. He tried to character assassinate some person. And he caused harm to the people around him in different ways and different forms. Then despite the fact that he had so much of good deeds to his credit, he will be brought in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his mountains of good deeds. But the line of claimants will come. He could have been owing monies to people. He refused to pay back. And he pretended like he didn't owe. Like today we find the culture has become such that the creditor, he is like the beggar. And he has to plead for his money and his payments. And the debtor behaves like he has no obligation. And he tends to become offended. He tends to become offended when he's told, pay your money. What am I going to run away with your money? And so on. You don't trust me. Whereas the creditor has the greater right than the debtor. But nevertheless, in these various forms, he would have infringed on the haq and the rights of people. And he will come with his mountains of good deeds on one side. And the line of claimants will grow longer and longer on the other side. And somebody will come and say, Dharabani, washatamani, he hit me, he struck me, he saw me, he did this to me, he did that to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then pass on the good and virtuous deeds of this person to all these claimants until those mountains of rewards will be depleted and he will have nothing to his credit. And yet there will be claimants in the queue. Now it won't be said that now we'll liquidate him now and we'll give you so many cents to the rand. You'll get 5 cents to the rand. Take it, liquidate him now, close him down, open his business tomorrow morning on another name with a smile on his face and he'll carry on his like nothing has happened. Day, it won't be like that on the day of Qiyamah, my dear brothers. If you didn't meet that obligation by virtue of your deeds, and you've become liquidated and bankrupted by virtue of having given all your deeds been given away, then the process continues. The process carries on. What's the next step now? The sins of those people, their liabilities are taken and loaded onto your account. Their liabilities are, your assets are gone. Your capital is gone. Their liabilities are taken and loaded onto your account. And you are now carrying their liabilities on your shoulder. And so it will carry on until the last claimant has come. And where there were mountains of good deeds on one side, there are mountains of sin on the other side. And this person goes now in this condition. How is he going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what is going to be his outcome in the akhirah? And this was because his akhlaq was rotten. His character was rotten. The manner in which he dealt with people was despicable. This is the result and the outcome. That the result of that, he would infringe the rights of people. But on the other hand, if his akhlaq was good, his character was beautiful, his conduct was exemplary. Now such a person, when he conducts himself with people, when he interacts with people, it is a pleasure to deal with such a person. It is a pleasure to meet such a person. It is a pleasure to be in the company of such a person. And this person will cause the least amount of harm to the people around him. Be it his own wife, be it his own wife and children, the way in which he deals with them, and the way in which he comes across to them, it is an exemplary way in which he comes across. He doesn't take his own family for granted. He doesn't take his wife and children for granted. Well, these are my wife and children, so I can talk to them anyhow. I can blurt out anything I feel like. I can use my hands in any way I feel like. I can hurt their feelings in any way I feel like. I can trample their emotions in any way I feel like. This is the picture, the dismal picture of the Muslim community of today, my dear brothers. Sadly, the one-on-one cases that we are seeing, the one-on-one things that are uttered, the one-on-one utterances, it is really disgraceful that sometimes we don't even find this level of degeneration in manner and behavior and character, even in those who don't have the wealth of Iman and Islam. So we find, my dear brothers, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also mentioned in one hadith that if you want to see the sign of the perfection of the iman of a person, then what is the sign of the perfection of that iman? Not in the number of nafil namazes that he reads. This is not to say that nafil namazes are not important. These are very important. Not to say charity and sadaqah is not important. Not to say all the other the acts of nafil ibadat are not important. They have a place. They have a great value. And the reward of these are great and manifest, which will be seen on the day of Qiyamah. But there are other important things along with that. And so it is said in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. You want to see the man with the highest level of iman, then judge the level of his iman on the level of his akhlaq. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The person you find with the highest level of akhlaq, that is the person with the highest level of iman. And وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The best amongst you are the best in their behavior towards their women folk. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes it one step further and he says, وَأَنَا خِيَارُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. And I am the best amongst you in my treatment of my family, my wives, and so on. So this is the criterion to decide or to judge who is the best in amongst the people. Who is the person with the highest level of iman? It is that person whose akhlaq is of that level. The way in which he conducts himself and so on. Just to give an example of what is good akhlaq. We keep hearing about good akhlaq. But what is the essence of this good akhlaq? What are the characteristics or the salient ingredients of good akhlaq? When will it be said a person has got good akhlaq? And of course, then there are degrees and stages. From stage to stage, a person can go until the highest level of akhlaq in this universe has been that level of akhlaq that was granted by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the beloved master and habib, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah himself declares in the Holy Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Oh my messenger, you are on the highest level of akhlaq. You have been granted the supreme as far as akhlaq and character is concerned. That is the highest. That is in fact the touchstone. That is the standard. That is the criterion on which we should be basing our akhlaq and to determine and to test whether a person has akhlaq or not. The ideal or the model or the touchstone, the criterion is the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The closer a person resembles the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then such will be the stage and the level of this person. In fact, it has been stated by many a scholar and ulama that if you want to determine what the stage of a certain person will be in the akhirah, then study his akhlaq. And on the level of his akhlaq will be the stage Allah will grant him in the akhirah in Jannah. That is like a type of a barometer Allah has given us in this world, or a thermometer, or some kind of a meter, a gauge, to gauge what will be the stage or level of a person in the akhirah. We find, my dear friends, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi gave a beautiful definition of good akhlaq, and he spelled out the salient ingredients of good akhlaq. Number one, he mentioned that a person who has got a pleasant and cheerful countenance, when you see him, when you meet him, he's got a smile on his face, he's got a cheerful countenance, he's got a pleasant disposition. This is one of the ingredients of good akhlaq and character. It is not like when you see this person, then it is like a burden for him to smile at you. It is a burden for him to make salam. It is a burden for him to give a reply to the salam. If he makes salam to, if he shakes hands, he'll give like 1.5 finger or 2.5 fingers. Doesn't even extend his hand properly. And it is, he has such a pulled up face that you might think that he has lemon juice for breakfast every morning. There is no warmth, no pleasantness in this person. This is a lack in akhlaq and character. Second thing, he is a person who does positive and uplifting deeds. He's always doing positive things. He's doing constructive things. He's not a destructive person. He's not out there to break and damage. He's not there to break relations and damage and cause harm. But he is a person who's constructive, he's positive. In fact, where relations have broken down, this type of person tries to cement and build those relationships. And then thirdly, he mentioned, is that a person who is gentle and kind and who uplifts the spirits of the people. When people come in contact with him, when a depressed person comes in contact with this person, for a short while he even forgets his depression. This is the type of embodiment of akhlaq and character that is required. We find Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, great wali and pious personality of the history of Islam. He says that there are four qualities that comprise of good akhlaq. The person who has these four qualities, he will have high stages in Jannah, even though his quantum of ibadah may be lesser, but he will have a very high stage in Jannah, as it was explained earlier on. And he encapsulates these good characteristics or good akhlaq in four things. Number one, a person who has the quality of hilm, or forbearance in him. He has a high threshold of tolerance. He has a high threshold of tolerance and a forgiving nature. That is a person who doesn't become easily provoked. He's not a person who becomes very quickly angry. And in fact, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, the best person is that person, not who doesn't get angry at all. Then a person is either an ass or is a stone or a rock if he doesn't get angry at all. But it takes long for him to become angry. And he calms down very quickly. And the worst person is that person who is batiul ghadab sariul fay. That That person who gets angry very quickly, like they say, he's got a short fuse. Any little thing triggers him off, and he gets angry over little things. This is an indication of weakness of akhlaq. This is not a person who gets angry quickly and takes him very long to calm down. But that person who has got the quality of tolerance, forbearance, and he's able to tolerate people, he's able to forgive people, he's able to overlook. This is one of the salient ingredients of good akhlaq. The second thing is, he has the attribute and quality of generosity in him. This person is extremely generous. He's got a big heart. He's big-hearted. Generosity is not measured by, again, quantity, but the quality. A poor man who gives 10 rand out of his 100 rand is more generous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the wealthy millionaire who gives 1,000 rand out of his 1,000,000 rand. Because if we look at the percentages, that man has given 1% or maybe 0.1%, and this person has given 10%. So it's not again the quality, the quantity, but it's the quality that counts in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a person who is generous, he's big-hearted, he's hospitable, his heart is big, he gives freely, he doesn't withhold. This is the second attribute. The third attribute is this person is a man of tawazu. He's a man of humility. He's a man who is down to earth. He's an approachable person. He's an amicable person. He's a likable person. He's a lovable person. He's a person that anyone has access to. He's not a person who's haughty, proud. He has a superiority attitude about himself in the way he comes across to people, that he's inaccessible to people. People have to wait at his door for hours on end before they can get access to him. And when he comes across to, he's very brash, and he's very crude, and he's very abrupt, and so on. These are all indications of a lack of good akhlaq. A person of good akhlaq, you will find in him the quality of humility. And these topics, each one, generosity, humility, tolerance, forbearance, these are all separate bayans, my dear brothers. Long, long speeches have been given by the ulama. Big books and kitabs have been written by the ulama on each one of these aspects. But these are, we could say, just keys, or just key pointers or factors to indicate towards what is good akhlaq. We mentioned earlier on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, amongst the first people with the best of akhlaq, and the best in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are those people who are good in their treatment towards the women folk. We know it's going to be Women's Day. The whole idea of celebrating the so-called Women's Day, whereas in Islam, I mentioned this many times before, there is no such a thing as Women's Day. There's no Father's Day. There's no Mother's Day. And there's no Youth Day and so on. Every day is Women's Day. Every day is Father's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Because we have to live all of these things. Those cultures and those civilizations who have lost all these things, they don't know what is the status and position of a woman. They have to set aside a day in the year to remind everyone around that, you know what, the woman also deserves respect and she also has got certain rights. They have to do these things because they've lost it all. Alhamdulillah, we've got it all. It's there in our Quran and Sunnah. It just needs to be applied. But in the context of tomorrow being Women's Day, we can see what Islam has taught us. That person who is forgiving towards his wife, you start off from the home, leave starting outside. Outside a person can have a beautiful smile and he's very good with his friends, but at home he's like a tiger or like a lion. So start at home. Start with the quality of tolerance and forbearance at home. That no matter how much of provocation there may be from the women folk, Allah has made them by nature such that they have a tendency of provoking a man. But that is the way they have been made. Maybe that's their way of showing love to a man. Because if there's no such things in a marriage, then that is a dead marriage. This is a sign of a marriage that is alive. a wife that provokes the husband from time to time, instead of taking it in his stride as a man, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Allah says in the Holy Quran, man has been given a status over woman. He's been given some degree of superiority over a woman. By virtue of what? By virtue of the fact that he has a higher threshold of tolerance. And he can take all these things in his stride. So, forbearance and tolerance start at home. Generosity start at home. The highest level of generosity is in one's own home, in one's own family. Be generous to the people around you, your own children, your wife. Give them the best. And then, the tawazu, humility, be humble. Look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example. When he sat amongst his wives, when he sat amongst his family, he became like one of them. And he would indulge with them in all their little discussions and talks. He would tell stories to them. In Shama'il al-Tirmizi, a whole long hadith about those different women who were describing their husbands and giving different description of their husbands. This Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to his wife. These stories and so on are found in the kitabs of hadith. So this little talk and discussion, he would be. But when it came for time of salah, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that the moment the azan was called out, his complexion would change and he would become a different person altogether. And now he would become so serious that like he didn't even recognize who we were, because now it is duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful balanced life there was. With the family, you give them their due and their right. When it comes to the rights of Allah, we give the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of society. Islam is this balanced, moderated, beautiful way of life. There's moderation, there's balance, there's equilibrium in everything we do. There isn't excesses. One side, a person becomes so much with the family that he neglects his salah. On the other side, another person is making holes in the musalla and he's got no time for his family. This is the two extremes. My mind boggles when I hear people talk of Islamic extremism. There can't be a greater anachronism or we could say an oxymoron or something, where there's such a contradiction of words, that Islam and extremism, they can never go together. These are like the East and the West can never become one. Islam and extremism can never become one. If it's Islam, then it has to be moderation. And if it's extremism, then it can't be Islam. So this is that beautiful, moderate way of life that has been given to us. Allah Rabbul Izzat, my dear brothers, give us the tawfiq to bring these attributes and qualities, work towards these, and develop these qualities in our life. These are the things that will count, not only on the day of Qiyamah, where we will see the benefit, but even in this world, when a good person leaves this world, then there are words of praise for him. We'll say, what a wonderful person, what a smiling face, what a beautiful person has gone. Everyone will be speaking kindly about him. And the angels of Allah recording, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. Everything that is said about him, good things and bad things, is written down, recorded. If good things are said, then that will help and count on his favor in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.